Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy whose podcasts are always dope. Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast here once again on a Big Brother Wednesday night as we are discussing OTEV and the fallout from the veto and much, much more here on Big Brother Wednesday night on Rob Has a Podcast. We're going to be taking your questions later on the show, hashtag RHAP, and also on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. And let's go ahead and bring in my boy. Here is Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I feel like how that frog looks that's behind you right now.
Yes, yes.
Whatever that means.
You like the frog? The dope frog? Why did the frog have to have a British accent?
Rob, I'm a DJ.
Yes,
all DJs are British,
right,
apparently.
That's right. I'm OTEV. And OTEV, again, for the second year in a row, had to be bleeped, right? Why does OTEV have to have a potty mouth?
Yeah, well, I got it when it was Gilbert Gottfried. You know what I mean? That makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, and they didn't even reference him being an amphibian. He's just the dope DJ. But why is he a frog? None of that's not included
in the conversation anyway. Iguana, female iguanas waiting for him backstage.
Oi, Chicky. What are you doing there?
All right, so we've got
Why don't we grab some craft services and see where this takes us?
Alex, I couldn't help but notice that you are growing a beard. Is it possible? Are you on your way to being the next in line for the Paulie Paul friendship haircut?
Friendship.
Oh! Could be, Rob. Could be.
Yeah. All right. So we will talk about all that and much more. As I think that all of the live feed correspondents, I think you guys should be friendship. And everybody should get that haircut.
Friendship.
Yeah, well, I can't do much with my hair these days, Rob, but I guess I could grow a beard and then do things with that. So that's my out. You're right.
Okay, good. All right, so we're going to talk about everything here tonight. And I talked about a couple of weeks ago, it was a coming out party for Big Meech, but maybe in the bad way tonight. I wonder if Big Meech is taking a heel turn here so far. We talked about on Sunday night that Alison Grodner favorited a tweet that said, I can't understand why anybody is anti-Frank and pro-Big Meech, and it really did seem like the edit turned in that direction tonight.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
It's funny how these things work.
Okay, so I guess let's start with the wheeling and dealing of Frank trying to... I thought Frank did a pretty good job here in this episode of at least making that appeal to Big Meech. And of course, you could tell us from the feeds how it actually went over. But I thought that Frank did a pretty good job here, at least appealing to the super fan in Big Meech. A page out of the Jeff Probst playbook, like, hey, got to make big moves, Big Meech. They call you Big Meech. You got to make big moves.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Penner approach to Lisa Welchel. Let me analyze who this person really is and think about what drives them.
Yeah. All right, Big Meech, that you or somebody, you hate Bridget. You could, I don't know how this would really affect that, but you could at least work with me. How about that, Big Meech?
Does that sound like something you might be interested in?
Does that sound like something?
Michelle, Frank's in a tough spot. The whole house against him. You know what I mean? Like, there's only so much you can do in that spot. We've seen a couple players get out of it in the history of this game.
Yeah.
So, Frank, we've never credited him with having the Dan or Will social game in the past.
Oh, Big Meech says he's got a great social game.
Well, it's literally that level of impeccable, miraculous social game that would take to overcome this level of adversity,
now,
I think. This is just like he's backed so far into a corner that there's really very – it's very difficult to envision a way to fight out of.
Alex, from where I sat tonight, I thought I saw a storyline develop that was not something that we have talked about this season. And I want to get your take as to, I need to know friendship or pissed if this is something you are in or out on. That it seemed to me like we were presented with a lot of information of Michelle saying, hey, you know who's pretty awesome? Frank.
and I kind of have a crush on him, and he's kind of the coolest guy in the house, and I really wish that I could work with him, but here's Bridget, who's his actual friend, and that here, if I just got her out of the picture, then Frank would be my friend or maybe more in the house. And it's a total, it's not so much that Big Niche is mad because Bridget said that as a joke she was going to shave off her eyebrows. It was that Big Niche wants to be the new Bridget.
How about that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what's great about diary rooms, Rob.
That is not friendship. That is not friendship.
Not friendship. Not friendship at all.
Yeah.
These DRs are illuminating in a way you'll just never get from feeds. You know, it's interesting. We got that insight from Michelle. We'd never get that insight from watching Michelle talk to somebody in the house because she wouldn't divulge that. But she's comfortable enough to share that in the diary room. And I think that is a huge piece of information into why Michelle is so violently anti-Bridget this
year. And thanks to Russ in the chat room for pointing out, Frankship. Frankship. So, yeah. But are you saying, is that a real thing?
That's a ship that's sinking quickly.
Yeah. But you feel like that's a real thing, that this is a something that's actually going on? Or you feel like that maybe it's sort of like, you know, the diary room trying to throw something at us that maybe we're not quite buying?
Well, the words came out of her mouth. They can't twist her arm and make her say that. They could, you know, gently nudge her probably. But no, I genuinely believe she feels that way. I've gotten a lot of indication on feeds and stuff that Michelle has, for lack of a better term, some insecurities about certain things. And, you know, the stuff with Bridget is really, for lack of a better term, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There's not any real strategy to what she's doing. It's just kind of vindictive for its own sake at a point. So this piece is kind of a piece to a puzzle that kind of makes some more sense to me.
The conversation between Bridget and Michelle was horrible. I mean, it really was terrible. I tweeted out earlier tonight that Big Meech is to Bridget as Michael Scott is to Toby. I mean, it's really, she's horrible to her. I mean, here's a clip of that conversation between Big Meech and Bridget.
I've been nothing but nice to you, and all I get is crap from you, and I'm trying to figure out why.
I am nice to you sometimes.
I am nice to you sometimes. Come on.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
I'm not a total jerk to you all the time. Bridget.
I'm sorry. Not since Steve and Becky have we seen such a one-sided rivalry, Rob.
Yeah, but the Steve and Becky thing was like, okay, like Steve had like a diary room or two where it's like, hey, I hate Becky. I want her to lose the competition. But then it never really acted itself out where Big Niche hates Bridget for no reason other than I want to be close to Frank.
Yeah. And, you know, and I also believe she really thinks Bridget is like a fake girl. Like, no one, she's playing innocent, right? The thing is, Michelle, Bridget actually is that innocent. I can understand that a girl who's, you know, who thinks malicious thoughts the way Michelle kind of does from time to time can't envision that anyone could possibly be that innocent. But if you listen to Bridget talk on the feeds, she doesn't really know how to get vindictive on that level. She couldn't if she really tried, which is why she's pretty bad at this game.
It's really like Bridget is so sweet. I mean, really, I mean, if anything, we haven't seen her a ton on the show, but she seems like she is so nice. Just an incredibly nice person.
Thank you for that, actually.
No problem, Bridget. I appreciate that. But
Someone will thank you for nominating them, they can't be a vindictive person.
She's so nice. And Michelle is just so terrible to her. Like, well, shut up, Bridget. I don't want to hear it. Stop it.
Yeah, and it's compounded by the fact that you know the entire house is against her. And next week, you know, if they're all against Bridget next week, if this just continues, if it's the take out Frank and Bridget train, then that's going to be even more painful to watch because Frank element wouldn't even be there in that scenario. And it could potentially just be you know, the entire house picking on this tiny little girl. Like, who really wants to watch that?
Yeah. Do you feel like that this is going to be an ongoing thing? Do you feel like that the edit on Big Niche is going to continue to tank?
Unless we see a different Michelle on feeds, I think this is a relatively fair portrayal of the Michelle I've been watching in the house, to be perfectly honest.
Now, you said on the Big Brother Happy Hour on Monday night that you said that you feel like Michelle is drawing dead. You feel like that she is somebody, she cannot win the game. I thought that was a very interesting point that you made, and especially as a super fan here in this spot in an era where Steve has won and Ian has won. Could you just reset that for anybody who didn't catch the show, why you feel like there's no chance Michelle can win?
Sure. Yeah. I'm planting my flag on that one. There's a big difference between the Michelle and the Ian and the Steve. You saw in conversations that Ian had with people and conversations that Steve had with people, there's a level of caring, there's a level of empathy, and a genuine desire to get to know the other person for who they are, not for what they can do for you in the game, for who they are as a person, for what they've got going on in their life, for the fact that we're going to be friends outside this house. You don't get that vibe from Michelle other than in maybe conversations with like Zakiya and Nicole. She's got a couple people she can get along with, but she doesn't
nice
seem
to
understand.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, she just doesn't seem to understand the value of needing everyone to like you. To me, it's like, do you remember that movie AI, Artificial Intelligence, with Haley Joel Osment? And he's like trying to find emotion. He's like, but now I want, what is a real boy? What does that feel like? Like, that's Michelle to me. She doesn't know why people feel the feelings they feel. And it's so, like, you know, Natalie is the one that prompted her. That fight that we saw tonight?
Yeah.
That was prompted by Natalie telling Michelle to go apologize to Bridget. Mm-hmm. And that was the Michelle apology effort. That's what that became.
Yeah.
So that should tell you a lot.
All right, well, let's get into the other part of this where Michelle has this long conversation with Frank. Finally, she gets some FaceTime here with Frank, and Frank is saying, like, hey, you should make this big move. She's like, ah, yeah, I don't know. You should throw Bridget under the bus. I think that would really be for the best. And so Paul starts to go on the warpath. Paul is going nuts. He's just like pacing back and forth. He sees, here's Frank, here's Michelle.
Oh!
He's really just very upset about the whole thing. Your boy, he just saw that Frank is in there. I'm pissed. It's not friendship. It's total sketch. And oh!
Yeah, he puts on that sleeveless hoodie and just starts walking around.
He's just like going nuts. He's like bouncing off the walls. And we've talked about how we think that Paul has done a pretty good job here. But I don't know why this is really like a, your boy is not going up on the block. That's not friendship. That's not, and I'll be pissed if that happens. And Frank is being sketch. So I gotta go and break this up. Your boy has had it.
Yeah, well, this is a new side of Paul. You know, the Paul that was humble pawn Paul is dead and buried. And this is the Paul that's been empowered by Paulie's friendship, basically.
Yeah.
Paulie has a lot of clout in the house. All the clout, pretty much, it seems like. And by, you know, making Paulie his kind of, by Paulie making Paul his kind of right-hand man in some respects, it has encouraged Paul to, you know, puff out his chest and run
I'm
around the house like
out.
He owns the place.
That's
a bit
it.
More.
I've had it. I'm
so what's the end game, bro?
Yeah. So he's going to, you know, he goes and he tries to say to Frank, like, hey, Frank, your boy needs a minute. What's going on in here? And Frank's like, can we get some time on this? And like, oh! He's like,
Pissed?
Yeah, he didn't really even know
that
how
question
to handle that. I like
that,
that clip of him that he's pissed, question mark.
Pissed?
Yes. So your boy didn't like that. And then we got into this whole like house meeting about talking about this. And boy, how about this with the Corey and Nicole of it all? Nicole really NSFW, Alex.
Yeah, that's where Nicole's focus is these days in the game.
Yeah, so. I mean, really, I thought that was jarring, I thought, in terms of, I mean, I know what's been going on from the feeds, but I thought that, you know, for the TV viewers, I feel like you're right. Like, whoa, what is this?
Oh!
Oh! That is not friendship.
Yeah, pretty invisible Corey tonight for the most part. But you got that, and then you got the other moment that I loved, which is when Polly was like, oh, did you hear that? And he was like, what did he say? And he like didn't hear the frog when it was talking. Like,
yeah, gotta listen. Make sure
Corey's
listen.
Always included for 5 minutes of stupidity.
Yeah, so... I thought that was crazy that they sort of just came in and it was like the needle went off the record with Nicole and Corey.
Yeah. Yeah. Just pulled away real fast.
Yeah. So we had that whole meeting and, you know, Pauly was trying to like calm it down. Like, all right, Davon, go tell Paul to knock it off. Tell him, bring him up here. And Davon was like, no, she wanted that to happen. She wanted to see that broken up. For Davon, did you like that angle of, you know, of letting the Paul disrupt what was going on in there?
Drag him. Yeah, it's not the worst take. To me, the bigger concern is if Davon is so focused on getting out her nemesis in Frank that she loses sight of the bigger picture of setting herself up to win. And I do worry that that's been going on a bit with Davon. Maybe if Frank goes out, it'll allow her to kind of refocus. But I do feel like, you know, over the fact that she wasn't able to get out Frank last week or the week before, and it was really – she's been hell-bent on this, Rob. So it's hard, for her to see past that right now.
Yeah, for Davon, I think that the thing for her is that she always is overplaying things. And I wonder if maybe that she was overplaying the, you know, stoking this fire.
It's definitely possible. And, you know, I mean, but it's such a crazy house. These people aren't necessarily acting logically. So it's hard to know what's going to get you in trouble right now, to be perfectly honest. Some people are getting mad at the person who's playing both sides and not the person who's been their enemy the whole time. You know what I mean? It's dicey.
Yeah. So that's all really, you know, crazy night with all of the fireworks from that. Like, finally, we end up with this big house meeting. And I thought this was kind of crazy then for Frank of like, hey, here's what I'm suggesting. Like, how about you guys take me off the block and let's put Davon up on the block.
Yeah, well, you find out a little bit later on feeds that Frank is unhappy because he got the impression from from James and Michelle that the only way the veto might get used is if he called, you know, had this house meeting and got everyone in the room to agree to it. Unfortunately, the last one to show up in the room was Davon. He wasn't really counting on her being there. So Frank did feel like this was something that was supposed to be an opportunity for him that was kind of blown up. And in reality, it was just James, you know, James like called this thing on a whim and then like got under the covers and just, you know, listened. Yeah. And that really was it just seemed like another weak move for James.
Yeah.
You know,
Paulie ended up shooting the whole thing down. It was like, yeah, you know what? We're just not doing it. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. And frankly, you're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, he's like, well, you don't have to keep looking like an idiot. And they cut that out, but Frank was like, well, I don't think I'm looking like an idiot, bro. Paul's like, all right, maybe I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah, maybe he was just rattling him.
I decided to rattle her.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. This meeting is adjourned. I'm sorry. That's it. Frank, you're going home.
Yeah, it's a tough scenario. It's hard to see the out. And in poker, if you don't see an out, you might be on your way out. I think the same applies here.
Well, we'll talk about some possible hope for Frank coming up in the live feed segment. What else from tonight before we jump into some of these questions? How about James? Don't okie doke the okie doker.
Okay, James.
Okay, the James HOH week. We talked about how we thought that this was a bad idea, how he ended up playing this week. In terms of where we stand right now through the veto competition, did you feel like that sort of the dust settled on James's HOH week?
Yeah, I mean, for now, it was such a weak move, and it just shows a fundamental lack of understanding that's so frustrating to someone like me, who I would love to see everyone come to play this game their first time having actually understood what this game is. And here's James being given a second chance And he had 9 months basically where he could have talked to any alumni in the alumni circle. Any of these people would have taken his call. He could have reached out and learned about this game and how to play it. And it's so evident he didn't do that because he just doesn't understand that this is not a big move. This is the smallest move you could possibly make. Mm-hmm. It literally is. There's no smaller, you know, this is maintaining the status quo. And that's basically not a move to maintain the status quo of the house.
And doing other people's dirty work.
That's literally what this move is. And then on top to top it off, he throws the veto. And yes. If you want to keep your nominations the same, you never throw the veto when you're the head of household because it just increases the chance. Michelle had to go up against Frank and Bridget because you threw that thing. If you win the veto, just
I'm
keep
really
your nominations the same.
I'm going to need some time from Natalie tonight to make up for this big loss.
It's really dumb all the way around. I can't ignore it.
All right, let's take some questions. Let's talk to JYABB Superfan. Do you think that Paul's Day-ish blow-up will haunt him the same way that they do Day? Or will he be seen as impulsive? Yeah, so when Paul is going up just like breaking things up, is he seen as an unstable person? Or is he sort of like a kooky, beloved Paul friendship?
Right. There's a big difference. And the difference is when Day does stuff, people go and say, oh, Day did something. But Paul is only basically acting on Paulie's behest. So Paulie says, hey, you should go do this. It would be funny or it would be good. You know what I mean? So because he has this backing, he's able to kind of operate with impunity a little bit, whereas Davon can't do that because people are still not fully over the fact that she was double dipping a little bit earlier in the game.
So you feel like because Paul is Paulie's henchman, then nobody ultimately holds him accountable for what he does.
Yeah, well, I called him the boy who cried pissed on the last show. And I do think there's an element of that. If you keep it up, people are going to get turned off by it eventually. It's one thing when you're attacking Frank and you're, you know, trying to like spread seeds of discord between Frank and Bridget and everyone's against Frank and Bridget and they think it's funny. Once those people are gone, if you're still acting like this, people are going to quickly decide that that volatile element might not be something they want to play with.
Okay. Let's do from Binky Productions. Are you upset by Big Mish's attitude towards Bridget? She's mean with her because she's jealous. I mean, is there any more to this story? I mean, the eyebrows thing never made a lot of sense. And you feel like that this is the actual factual story that Big Mish had a thing for Frank. She's jealous of Bridget. I mean, this seems like super petty.
I think this is definitely a piece of it. I definitely wouldn't dismiss this DR. I think this is the kind of thing that somebody shares in the diary room that I wouldn't have gotten on feed. So to me, this is a bit illuminating. The eyebrow comment didn't seem like enough to, you know, make her this vindictive either, to be perfectly honest, Rob. It's just a, you know, it's everything combined. It's this cocktail of hatred, really. You know, it's combined with the fact that she doesn't believe, she thinks Bridget's a fake person because she doesn't think someone could be that sweet or innocent, you know? So there's a lot at play here, and it's all bending Michelle against Bridget. And it's, you know, it's frustrating because it seems like it would be really easy for her to just kind of fix this. Like, yeah. You know, just apologize and move on. And maybe Bridget won't target you, but she seems like she'd rather just accept Bridget as an enemy and go forward knowing that if Bridget wins, she's in trouble.
And I don't have anything against Big Mish, but it's really hard to defend this position that Bridget is a terrible person. I mean, she doesn't say anything bad about anybody. And like, they're really like, either maybe they're giving us more to make Big Mish look worse, but I mean, that she's so nice and so sweet and genuine.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's, you know, it's hard to get a read on Michelle when I think tonight she finally passed Glenn in terms of diary room. So we don't really know Michelle yet on the show.
Hey, back off, Big Mish. That's my territory.
Oh, you moved me to last now? I didn't want to be last. I thought maybe I was the outlast of this season.
You know, I was on the Joker's update, you know, Glenn skyrocketed. And really, Frank on the Joker's update popularity poll, like, he basically touched bottom and then was back up to, like, 3 or 4. Like, he really came all the way back. So good for Frank.
It's really hard to keep hating someone when he's got, like, 9 people just picking on him and not letting him have a moment's piece to try to work game.
And
you know,
Paulie,
that's really what this has been.
He was up to like number 2 or 3, and then he was at 15, only worse than Jose.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not good for your boy.
Yeah, not good for
no bueno.
No bueno. Yeah, here.
That's no bueno.
David
That's another
Allen.
Moment we didn't talk about was the Michelle face plant that was reminiscent of Meg from last year. Oh, you wanna, do,
I mean, other than that, was that, I mean, she really just like her face went down like white. It was like shades of like Will Sims in going down the ramp in Survivor Worlds Apart.
Somebody's having a birthday.
Big Meesh. Okay. David Allen says, I can't tell what's more obnoxious, the entire house publicly rooting against two underdogs or this dope OTEV narration.
Well, it took your mind off of Butter.
No, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So Gilbert Godfrey was in Big Brother 16 and then Butter was last season.
Right.
Did he curse last season?
Last season was the Steven Tyler loaf. Yeah.
Yeah. So crazy. somebody is just like on some like acid trip in the Big Brother like production Winnebago of just like coming up with this stuff. It's like
they
Puffin built, stuff.
They built the entire set up the entire season on the Gronk cruise. That's where they planned it all, on a bar napkin.
All right. R. Vandervest. Should Big Meesh have used the veto on Frank or Bridget? Would it have helped her in the game, in the long run, to do it? What do you think about this?
Tough to do something that the whole house is so adamantly against.
Oh!
Yeah, you'd have somebody like Paul just losing his mind. You'd have Devon losing her mind.
What is going on? Why did Big Meesh do this? This was not friendship. I'm pissed.
And yeah, Michelle would love to keep Frank, but it's going to be really tough with all these people that are so openly targeting Frank and then Bridget. It's going to be really, really tough for her to try to subvert anything with everyone's games exposed, which is kind of where it's at right now. Until something changes, someone leaves and a power structure shakes up, everyone's pretty much playing with their cards shown right now, because that's what happened with that at that house meeting. Everyone just laid it out.
Yeah.
All right. Terrible.
Let's do a couple of more questions, and then we'll get into talking about the spoilers and a lot of stuff to talk through in spoiler territory. This is from Luke Hager, who says, does Michelle have the worst social game in the house? Even at the ceremony, I thought Bridget kept it pretty classy, but Big Meesh was straight up rude and catty. How about this, Alex? Does Michelle have the worst social game in the house?
Yes. Okay. I mean, to be perfect, even when people are relating with her and having conversations with her, a lot of times it's listening to her vent. And that's not really fun for the person on the other side, to be perfectly honest. I've been there. I know.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do one more. Ken Skate fan. How in the world did Bridget think working with only Frank and loosely with Bronte and Natalie would be a winning strategy? All right. I guess the Big Meesh segment, time to pick on Bridget. Why did she think that this was a good plan?
Because she's one of the spy girls, Rob. And
yeah, she went from
MO.
The spy girls to a smaller alliance with just Frank. And really, she can't move away from that.
Here's your problem. You're wondering why you're not getting smart, logical strategy from the girl that thanked someone for putting them on the block.
Thank you for that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, poor Bridget. But
looking
she's
for
nice.
Logic in all the wrong places.
Nice. Alex, the chat room is telling me that Bridget isn't as nice as I'm making her out to be. I'm getting duped here. What do you think about that?
She's had a few moments on the feeds where she's gotten really fed up with the situation and lashed out here and there verbally. But she's also I cut her a little bit of slack because I think she's a little bit odd. I think she's probably someone that tends to not have, like, maybe she didn't fit in with girls in school. And, you know, when we did the preseason cast assessment, I thought, oh, she's a traveling nurse. Maybe that means she gets along with all kinds of different people. I'm starting to think that maybe she's the solo traveling nurse because she doesn't get along with that many people in her day to day. She doesn't seem to make friends very well. The whole house is obviously kind of against her, but you can understand she's scared and upset and emotional. And when she feels like people are whispering about her in rooms, it's kind of only natural that she's going to lash out in some respects.
Okay, let's do one more question. This is from R squared 93 or 923. What does Michelle gain by telling Frank / the house that she almost used the veto on him?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yeah, to say, right. I thought that raised the eyebrow for me at the moment too. To say, I'm not going to lie.
You said that shaved eyebrows?
Raised eyebrows.
Okay. No. Be careful.
Yeah, no, I don't. Please do not associate me with that. Michelle will come for me. I don't want that.
I am nice to you sometimes.
That Carrie moment was kind of scary to me. Rob.
She got into it and she really ran with it. Like, oh yeah, yeah, Carrie.
Yeah, and there was no like, I thought maybe they were going to show her like laugh afterwards, but she was just like prom queen. Ooh.
Okay. All right, so here's where we're going to stop for the time being. We are going to get into the live feed spoilers and talk about what could potentially be an interesting night going into the Thursday night eviction special. Of course, if you are spoiler averse, it's only one night away, but if you're very much spoiler averse, then we will see you on the Thursday night. But if you're going to hang in there, should have some fun stuff to talk about. We will be live once again, 10:15 PM Eastern time. Myself and Brent Walgamott will break down tomorrow's live eviction show and whatever else comes along with that. So until then, let's get into talking about the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into talking about spoilers. And as most of you guys know, who are still here at this point know, there was all sorts of breaking news happening on Monday night, right when you guys were going into the live show about 48 hours ago with Jordan, about the big secret room, which was going to potentially have some sort of a game-changing power. Alex, could you quickly reset the outcome of the secret room hidden in the house?
Sure. So, yes, the secret room, which is Paris-themed, has been discovered. It is upstairs. There's the phone booth kind of at the end of the hallway that leads to the HOH room. If you dial, you know, whatever Paris is, 7, you know, something.
Spell out the word Paris.
Spell in Paris on the phone. A little hatch opens up under the phone. It's a tiny little crawl space, and that takes you through to a new room, which is, it's got like a grassy floor, and it's got really cool, you know, outdoor looking walls, and it's like a perfect little picnic spot, Rob.
Okay, so talk about who got in there. What did they learn in the secret room?
So the person who uncovered everything and got the message on the phone that said the door will unlock 5 seconds after you hang up this phone, it was very Mission Impossible, the whole thing, was Paul.
Oh!
Not pissed? Yeah.
No, he was not pissed. He's happy, right?
Feeling good about that, yeah.
But maybe
it's funny watching him scurry, like, you know, he just kind of looked around and just like popped into that tunnel and just scurried as fast as he could. That was funny.
Yeah. So, all right. So what did Paul get for getting in the secret room? Coup d'etat, diamond power of veto, $50,000. Which thing was it?
Yeah. None of that. Paul, unfortunately, didn't really get any kind of legitimate advantage. We all figured that whoever gets into this room first is going to get something. Instead, when he got in there, there are 12 envelopes facing him and a card that basically says anyone who finds the room can get an envelope. And unfortunately, he found the room while people were watching him. Each of these envelopes is not able to be opened. Basically, a house guest comes in that room and takes an envelope, and there's one there for everybody. One of those envelopes, assuming the house guest is evicted in the next 4 weeks, they open their envelope upon talking to Julie on the stage. One of those envelopes will say round trip ticket, and it will be good for immediate re-entry into the house.
So Paul got nothing for finding the secret room?
Well, he got an envelope, just like 5, 10, 15 minutes later, every single other person in the house. So he's got a 1 in 12 shot at a thing. Whereas if he had kept it secret, done it maybe at 4 in the morning, maybe nobody else gets an envelope eventually. I mean, I'm sure, you know, more clues were apparently going to be revealed down the road.
Okay.
Some other people might have found envelopes, but it was misplayed for sure.
So
it needs to be said that feeds went down quickly after the room was discovered. And apparently this is because Corey got stuck in the crawl tunnel and production had to cut him out, Rob, which is the funniest thing I may have ever heard in my life.
Yeah, they had to. What do you mean they had to cut him out?
They like get the jaws of life and like help remove him like forcibly from the tiny tunnel. This tunnel's really small. Like it's made for James and Natalie. And the fact 6'5" Corey was not having good times in there apparently.
All right. Going back to this, this prize that they find. Okay, so each house guest now has a 1 in 12 shot of getting the round trip ticket. And then this is good for the next four evictions.
So, yeah, apparently, you know, and we're not still 100% clear, but it seems like that's the only way it could work, because you can't evict somebody third and have to be like, oh, look, it was me. You got to take me out again all on finale night. Like, that wouldn't work. And so, you know, Julie had said something about this being a 4-week thing. I think it's pretty safe to say.
So there's a 33% chance that where it's going to happen, and a 66.666% chance that it's not going to even eventually show up. But why do I feel like there is a very strong chance we're going to see it this week?
Because that hashtag Grodner exposed party? Is that why?
Well, it's so funny because we got sent this the other night, and it was sent to us on Twitter. And I don't have the tweet favorited, but let me see if I can find it. But basically, we did a year ago, we did the Big Brother think tank. And did you see this clip? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we did this Big Brother think tank, and Spencer Clausen was on the show, and Spencer ended up saying like, all right, here's like, I got an idea. What if, you know, when the house guests go in the house, they each get an envelope and the envelope could say anything. And we were sort of like workshopping that. And then we talked about like, oh, maybe it could be like some sort of like power of veto or something like that. And what I said at the time was, well, you know, the problem with something like that is like, well, what if production was going to switch that out? You know, let's say you have like some sort of a fan favorite who's going to potentially go home in that, you know, you wouldn't want like, okay, when they're outside, outside lockdown, you'd be worried that they're going to switch the envelopes around, right?
I don't know. I try not to think about these things, Rob. I don't want to feel like these things are going on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So I tend to, you know, kind of pull an ostrich and bury my head in the sand.
All right. So let me just give credit to at I am Tony on Twitter, who pulled that clip of us from a year ago talking about the potential problems of something. Now, again, if Frank goes home on Thursday night, does not get the 1 in 12 shot round trip, then we say, okay, well, this was all, you know, take off the tinfoil snapbacks and return them to Pauly.
Yeah. And important to remember that we saw a coup d'etat in All Stars, Big Brother 7, and it never came to fruition. You know, that was something, big power, Boogie won it, and ultimately it didn't get used. So it's not like every power in the history of Big Brother has gotten played.
Yes, but
there is some precedent.
The Mike Boogie thing was his choice to not play it. It was not that it was like a random thing that just didn't happen to, you know, have some sort of a payoff. It wasn't like, you know, one of these lost mysteries that got introduced and then we've never found out what the answer was.
Well, then the precedent is the BB takeover, Rob.
Yeah, that might be more like it. All right. So tell me in your heart of hearts, then tomorrow night, when Frank leaves the house, assume and the votes are still against Frank, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Michelle seems to be the only one who would love to see it go the other way, but she doesn't have the clout to make people turn.
Yeah. And so in your heart of hearts, when Frank opens his envelope tomorrow night with Julie, is that a round trip ticket?
No.
No.
I don't feel like they can do that now.
Why?
Even if they wanted to do that, well, I feel like it would
if
be.
If they wanted to do that, why do you feel like now they couldn't?
They could. It's just, it's out there. The whole, you know, the her favoriting the tweet, that twerk trending. The block is hot right now, Rob. It's a tricky situation to try to navigate. I feel like they should cut their losses with Frank at that point. If they're really that hell bent on keeping him. Yeah. Well,
if they were going to do that, you think a favorited tweet is going to stop that?
Well, a hashtag like, oh, started trending after that.
Uh-oh. All right. Abort the plan. Abort the
it's
plan.
It's more the movement that fell out of that, I think. It's just alerted people to something they wouldn't have been turned on to before.
Your girl is calling off the plan. Your girl is calling off the plan. Pissed. Sketch.
This is not friendship. I repeat, it is,
this
not,
is
friendship.
Not friendship.
The plan
this is not
friendship.
Cancel.
Yeah, I don't know. To be perfectly honest, Rob, I don't give enough thought to the how is Big Brother making the sausage back there. I probably should put more thought into this, But it is still a little bit of like the Santa Claus element with me, where I just, I want to hope things are on the up and up.
Explain to me the numbers, though, going back to Lost and the Hatch and, you know, Destiny versus Free Will. Talk to me about, well, what is the deal with the numbers of these envelopes?
It's just kind of random, I guess. I don't think there's really any rhyme or reason to it.
So from what I understand, though, that these envelopes were numbered, and then you had to go in and then that, like, okay, Big Meesh, you're number 9. You have to go and take envelope number 9, or was it the order that you got into the room?
First come, first serve, getting into the room. And that's why on the happy hour, I pitched the idea of let people read it and then make it like, you know, almost like the Yankee swap, where it's like one will say you get to come back all the way down to like put on a stupid hat or a costume.
But explain
and
to me
everyone
about
who
the
gets in there will take a card.
Explain to me about the numbers. So the things were numbered, but you were allowed to take whatever. There was no like assigned number.
There was a laminated card when they got in there that basically said, choose an envelope. And the envelopes are laid out in arraignment. There's really nothing that distinguishes one envelope from the next. Paul just kind of, you know, picked an envelope at the, you know, kind of at random. And then as people came into the room, they too chose an envelope. Michelle was the last one into the room and just took the remaining envelope.
How did Michelle handle that?
Fine, I guess. I don't know. You know, at that point, it's pretty clear that there's not maybe necessarily an advantage to... It's the, you know, Tyson Apostle. You guys pick the rock, and I'll just take what's left. It doesn't really make a difference.
Okay. So, I mean, I think this is going to be pretty interesting. From a TV perspective, I know people are going to be upset if Frank does pull the envelope that says, hey, you got the round-trip ticket. I'm not going to make a big deal about it, that I'm going to be fine with it. It's going to say, yeah, that's a pretty Big Brother thing that just happened. But in terms of the overall season, I think I'm going to be, you know, pretty okay with Frank going out and coming back in.
Yeah, I could see that. It's not a terrible thing for television, given the way everyone would freak out. It's so... borderline. No! It really is pathetic the way this many people are scared of one, at the oldest guy in the house and a tiny little girl. It's really pathetic.
Yeah,
it's this many people just mortified of the possibility that they might stay, or that Bridget might, you know, win HOH next week. It's like, there's like 10 of you fighting this one little girl. If you can't just win that, then you deserve to go on the block.
Okay, so with the house sort of focused on, okay, we're going to get Frank out. We've got the secret room locked down. So what is the attention of the house focused on at this point?
That's the thing. They've got so much dominance over this situation that now they're just having fun with it. They're like sending Paul. Paul went to go tell Bridget that Frank's been campaigning against her, and it like broke Bridget down to tears. And then Paul and like Polly and Devon are like laughing at it. Like they're out of moves. You know, the move is made and now all they can do is wait. So they're just like basically continuing to rub dirt in the wound. It's pretty hard to watch for the most part right now. Frank and Bridget have no legs to stand on. You know, it's going home. You don't need to try to ruin their friendship. Like, come on, bro. Pissed. Yeah.
Friendship.
That's not friendship.
That is not friendship.
Definitely not.
So where's the house leaning towards next week? Who is most likely to go? Do they say, let's come back and then let's finish the job with Bridget next week?
Yeah, it's everyone against Bridget going into this HOH competition, and everyone's too scared to deviate and try to create something else. And it's great for Polly. Polly seems to be the ringleader, and if people don't decide to switch it up in a couple of weeks, he might just run away with this thing, Derek style, because people are too afraid to break away from the big amoeba when they maybe need to, and before they know it, the numbers are not going to be there for them to do it. So it is a bit of a ticking clock for some of these players that are not in Polly's inner circle.
Okay. All right. Let's take a couple more questions. This is from Petite Chew Pumpkin. Frank said Michelle can't make it past 8th or 9th. Can she? What do you think about what Frank was saying in terms of, hey, Michelle, you're going to be out 8th or 9th. At least if you make this move with me, you could be 5th.
Yeah, well, the problem is Frank doesn't really understand the dynamics of the group because he's been on the outs for like 3 weeks and for the better part of a month.
I'm just sitting here in Bummer City, man.
So, yeah, I mean, Michelle is someone I think people would be looking to take to the end because, as I've said, I've planted my flag. Michelle cannot win this game. So why not take her far?
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Eric Duncan. Says, has James lost popularity in your eyes? He seems to be doing others' dirty work. Is James less popular in the house this week?
I don't know that it's really in the house. I think in the house,
I mean,
he's exactly the same.
Now.
And that's James. The thing. Your move didn't help you. All it did was take out Frank, a big target that clears the way for someone else to be looked at as a target. Someone like you, James. Someone like you who wins these endurance competitions and feels like it's your job to do so. That's why it's so bad. It's not that it didn't gain him anything, and it cleared the only other male returnee and a big competition threat. It basically removed the best shield he had going for him. I think James is probably destined to finish around where he finished last time, around seventh.
Okay. This is from Trevor Reddick, who says, is it possible that it actually would be better for Michelle if Bridget went home?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why Michelle would love for that to happen. She's so sure Bridget is coming after her, and she's done all the legwork she can to ensure that that will, in fact, happen, basically. So, yeah, Michelle should, because Frank is not coming after her. But it doesn't matter, because everyone, you know, this house meeting laid everything on the table. She can't now try to subvert that without it blowing up in her face.
I say there's no chance Bridget goes home 1 week from tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I really hope so. I hope that they, because
nobody,
it would be,
when push comes
the most,
to shove, nobody
the most
is
boring
gonna,
week in history.
She certainly could go up on the block. She certainly could be a pawn. But when she's sitting there on the block, I mean, the house is really going to, you know, go another week and say, you know, the biggest threat on the board right now is Bridget, who has nobody, who is totally harmless. She won an HOH earlier this season. We got to get rid of her.
Well, it is absolutely stupid, Rob, but I mean, if you remember, like, this really does have a bit of a BB16 feel to it. And, you know, taking out Brittany, taking out Amber, like, you know, a lot of people were wondering, why are we doing Brittany to some degree was catching on to Derek, and that's why she went. I mean, well, I say catching on. She was at least seeing him move about, which is more than anyone else was doing. But yeah, you know, and they were going to take out Victoria over, you know, some other options. So it's an example of a season where if everyone's scared to deviate from the group, then you will see somebody like Bridget go home early.
Bridget will be in this house 1 week from tomorrow night.
Thank you for that, actually.
You are welcome, Bridget. You're welcome.
As someone who has to watch feeds, I hope so. I really, really hope so, because what a boring week, if not. I mean, I don't want to watch 10 people pick on Bridget for 7 days, Rob.
Yes.
I just don't want to watch that.
Yes. Leave that Cabbage Patch Kid alone.
It's horrible.
P.L. Mercer says, why is Paul so eager to get rid of Frank when he's such a big, huge meat shield for him?
Well, Paul doesn't understand the game.
Paul's
a dog chasing cars, and you know, he was just kind of doing his own thing, and now Paulie's like, go get that one. Go get that one. You know what I mean? So now he's got some degree of direction, but it's all coming from Paulie.
You know who we haven't mentioned at all tonight?
Who's that?
Victor.
No bueno.
No bueno. No.
I mean,
no,
Victor has just come back to the house and nobody noticed.
Mm-hmm. And he's in great, you know, he's, you know, I talked about it a little bit on Monday, but he is kind of the dilapidated wagon hitched to the, you know, rickety wagon that's Paul, which is hitched to an actual train. And Paul,
he's come back and he's sort of like emboldened Paul, but Victor has just been like, nobody cares about him.
Yeah. Well, this should be noted, Rob. Victor is, he's cooking dinner tonight.
Oh, no.
And yeah, that's the only thing people have noticed about Victor is he uses up all the food. And tonight,
what did he cook?
He was going to make a ton of tacos for everybody, and he used the questionable protein, Rob. This ground turkey.
This is a damn good steak. This thing is cooked to perfection, and I'm all about it because these biceps ain't going to feed themselves, so your boy needs his meat.
Need that meat. Yeah, well, I don't know if you need this meat, Paulie, because Victor used some ground turkey that apparently didn't smell perfectly fresh, and there's a lot of debate going on about whether or not he should use the turkey. At one point, Victor got called into the diary room, and people suspected that the diary room was going to tell him he can't use the turkey because he's going to get everyone sick. But he used the turkey, Rob, and, you know, I haven't been watching feeds the last couple hours. I don't know if everyone ingested this turkey, but if so, I'm excited to watch the feeds tonight and see if we get a situation where, like, everyone's vomiting like they're on Epicac or something.
Oh, my God. better you than me.
Feeds will be
watching
lit.
That one. Victor, you gave your boy a bad turkey meat, and now I'm pissed. The turkey was sketch, And now that was not friendship.
Yeah, no, yeah, and then HOH on Thursday night, they can all be like hanging on a wall during an endurance comp and just throwing up over the side.
Come on. All right, too much. We don't need to go back to
I'm
Uncle
looking
Austin's
for
Winnebago.
Any deviation from the boredom at this point, Rob. Okay. That's what it's come down to.
Stacked in FL, will Tulane Terry and Jordan Parhar still be interested in Michelle as a QT 3.14 anymore, or are they running far? Now, I don't want to
Prom
overly
queen.
Speculate on the romantic proclivities of Jordan or Ian. Do you think they feel like, hey, this is great news, less competition for us, or potentially they're going to say, eh, you know, this is not friendship?
I don't know. Well, Frank's out of contention, so you got not UD's booty to deal with. So
yeah.
That's one, you know, glass half full take.
Yeah. All right. We'll ask them. Okay. Two more questions. Taryn says, thoughts on Michelle winning OTEV. This is not Taryn Armstrong. Is her family exposing her on Twitter still the biggest thing to happen to her in BBA? What do you mean her family exposed her on Twitter?
So, yeah, you didn't see this, Rob? At one point, I guess it was, I want to say like about a week and a half ago,
I saw
a bunch
thread
of
on
tweets
Reddit.
Came from
I
her
saw
sisters.
A thread on Reddit that said like, Michelle's sister is like taking no prisoners or something like that. And I didn't click
she
on it.
She posted a ton of like old texts between the two of them that were really unflattering of Michelle. And then later was like, somebody hacked my account. And it was following a situation where I think someone had said that she was.
Was it the Russians? Did the Russians hack Big Misha's sister's account?
Well, interestingly enough, it did kind of coincide with a time that Michelle like said something not nice about her sister on the feeds. So was it really hacked, or was it just dumb to give your official Big B Twitter account to be run by your 16-year-old sister? Was that your mistake?
Crooked Big Mish should not. She cannot be trusted.
Well, you just can't, you know, a 16-year-old is going to react. You know, if you said something about your sister and then she heard that and everyone's tweeting her like, look what your sister said about you. Like, yep. You know, it's not the best look.
Let's go to Big Misha's sister for reaction quote.
I am nice to you sometimes.
Okay. All right. Well, touche.
Hacks, touché. Rob. It was the hacks.
Wiki Mish. Yes. All right. This is from Blake Benji. Do the house guests lose their sense of reality when being in the house? Paulie said that he thinks that America hates Frank while Frank sits at number three and Paulie rests at rock bottom below Jose. Isn't that sort of like a truism in Big Brother that the people who think they're the most popular people in the house are always the least popular people in the house?
Generally true, because it speaks to a lack of self-awareness. And people who don't have self-awareness are usually insufferable to a degree on the feeds.
Of course, I'm the most popular guy in the house. My brother Cody. He was popular, and I'm popular too.
And plus, did you see when I put on that leather jacket and jumped that shark tank? Hey!
Let's do one more. All right. Dawn S says, where is the Frank is a liar coming from? I thought he'd always been a pretty honest player. What do you think about this Frank is a liar business? Did he get just too caught up during the week 2, week 3 when he was in power?
Yeah, well, early on, I think he was empowered by his role in the 8-pack and the fact that he had this big group. So he felt like he could start diversifying his bonds a little bit and having some side things going and having these conversations with a lot of different people. And he kind of got caught. He was playing a game that that other people are playing. He didn't really do anything wrong. It was just sloppy, you know, and it was too soon to be, you know, doing all this wheeling and dealing. He was in a good spot with that 8-pack and with the spy girls not wanting to come after him. So that should have been enough, but it wasn't. He kept making, you know, further and further, you know, final 3 deals and final 5 deals. And it's just too early to be locking stuff like that down because people are going to talk.
Okay. All right. So a couple of weeks ago, it was 2 weeks ago tonight, Taryn was on with me. We talked about how it was going to be all over for Tiffany. She stayed. Do you see any scenario outside of the round trip ticket for Frank where the vote flips tonight?
I'm trying to think of like if everyone gets some kind of food poisoning, if there's any scenario, but that's about it. You know, that's where we are, Rob. It's that Boy. Level of desperation.
Sad state of affairs.
Medevac when, half the house when, and maybe they...
Yeah. When you're rooting for Salmonella at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Frank's best bet.
All right. So we'll see exactly how that plays out. So, of course, tomorrow night I'll be live again with Brent Wagemann to talk about the latest eviction. 10:15 p.m. Eastern time with Brent Wagemann and your boy getting into everything tomorrow night. So, of course, hashtag, what are you going to go with? WikiMish?
I like the WikiMish. Yeah, that's what I was going to pitch.
Yes. Okay, so let's do that for tomorrow. Boy, I hope I don't piss off Big Mish's sister. I mean, we already pissed off Big Mish before she went into the house. What do you think her sister has to say?
Yeah, I don't know, Rob, but yeah, I've been dragged enough. I use a break.
Yeah, leave Alex alone.
Dragging me.
Leave Alex alone. Don't drag him. All right, so very excited to get into everything from the live eviction show tomorrow. Last person to not make the jury, or is it, Alex?
Or is it? Good question. I don't know. With the Big Brother seasons these days, I'm just expecting jury to start from week one. So,
okay.
There's like, yeah, very few people not on a jury anymore these days.
So we'll see how it all plays out. Very excited to get into that and much, much more live on the show tomorrow night. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, pulling all of your questions. And thanks, everybody who was watching. I know that I was reading in the chat we were having some maybe some tech issues on the YouTube side. So if that is the case, I do apologize for that. Hope to get everything straightened out moving forward. And take care, everybody. Have a good one.